From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you and welcome to the broadcast. It's good to have you listening with us as we enter once more into the ministry of God's Word. It's very encouraging to us to hear from a large number of listeners who testify that Let the Bible Speak is a real means of spiritual challenge and help in their Christian walk. For us, that's an answer to prayer, and I look to the Lord for His continued blessing on His Word. Today we commence our second week of studies in Romans chapter 12 on the subject, A Yielded Life, the Christian's Response to the Gospel. Before we get to the message, however, we have our daily devotional Bible study and some music. Our daily devotional today is taken from Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, on the subject, Rejoicing in Redemption. Revelation 1, verse 5 says, Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The angels of heaven have good reason to sing the praises of the Lord. Though they serve in the courts of glory and flawlessly execute his every command, they have no cause for self-congratulation. They owe their existence and their happiness to the sovereign goodness of God. For as Paul reveals in 1 Timothy 5:21, the reason the angels of heaven did not fall in Satan's rebellion was the electing purpose of God. However, even angels have not so much cause to sing God's praise as do redeemed sinners. If creatures who never sinned rejoice in the power of God that kept them back from falling, how much more should we rejoice in His grace that saved us out of the depths of depravity and rebellion? That God would preserve sinless angels is one thing. That He should love and save foul and fallen sinners is something else. It's a miracle of grace. Yet, that's what the Spirit records. He loved us. What a sublime statement. He, the pure, holy, and just Creator, the one whose law we had trampled beneath our feet in arrogant rebellion. He loved, that is, fixed the purpose of His goodness upon us in divine tenderness, so as not merely to wish us well, but to ensure our eternal salvation. He loved us, the most unloving and unlovely of His moral creatures, sinners who not only did not deserve His grace, but didn't even desire it. The Lord's goodness to angels required the mere exercise of His will, the exertion of His power. The salvation of sinners required all that and much, much more. It required the supreme self-sacrifice of the Son of God. Our salvation cost the Lord everything He could give, and out of love, He gave it. Whatever burdens we are called upon to carry today, let us lift our hearts to the Savior who so loved us as to wash us from our sins. Think of it. All our sins, every spot, every stain, every wrinkle, all our sins are washed away. As Jesus said, John 13, verse 10, ye are clean. Rejoice, O Christian, rejoice in God's redemption. And our thought for the day comes from William Secker, the Puritan. A drop of praise is an unsuitable acknowledgement for an ocean of mercy. I've often said that it's our pleasure to come to you with Let the Bible Speak, and we really mean that. We're very grateful for the ministry of this radio station, and it's carrying our program to you. Now, regular Let the Bible Speak listeners will know that we never use the airwaves to ask for funds for our ministry. We never have in all the 33 years of our international radio work. However, I'm sure that this radio station would be glad to receive any support that you may wish to send as a thank you for their bringing the program to you. So let me encourage you to give the station your support, both prayerfully and financially, and remember to thank them for letting you hear Let the Bible Speak day by day. Now here at the ministry, we're always happy to hear from our listeners and to bring any spiritual help or encouragement that we can to you. So if you'd like some helpful gospel literature, our quarterly magazine, or tape or CD copies of our broadcast, we would invite you to write to us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is freepres@freepres.org. And if you'd like to call us toll free, our telephone number is 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. Today we return to Romans chapter 12 to go a little further into the subject, a yielded life, the Christian's response to the gospel. We have seen that the first response that the gospel demands is that we yield ourselves in sacrifice to God. Today we'll begin to show that the gospel also demands that we yield ourselves in separation from the world. Now, if we are to be able to do this, that is, separate from the world, and not fall into a legalistic pit of guilt theology in our efforts, it's important that we remember that it's the gospel that demands this separation as a response to its own gracious provisions for us. In other words, separation from the world is the response of gratitude and of joy in a Christian. Now, it's at this point, emphasizing that it's the gospel demanding separation as a response to its own provision for us, that we pick up today's message.
I noted with you that the overriding theme of the chapter is the believer's response to the gospel. The chapter begins, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." And the "therefore" takes us back to all that Paul has expounded in the prior chapters. This is what many people like to call the practical part of the epistle. I never like that very strict division of a book in the Bible into doctrinal or theological and practical. Gives the impression that theology is not practical and practice is not theological. And obviously the Bible teaching in that is the very opposite of that notion. When you read this book, you'll find how unfair that very clear distinction between doctrinal and practical really is. But for simplicity, many people will refer to this as the beginning of the practical part of the book. This is where Paul begins to major on our duties. He has mentioned duty before, but now he majors on duty. And the basis, the fundamental basis upon which he lays down our duties, is the great theology that he has led forth before us in the opening section of the book. So our belief is the basis of our behavior. I took a long time last time to establish that through the book of Romans, that the exposition Paul gives of the gospel is meant to govern our thinking, and it is meant to govern our behavior in every realm of existence. So that when we get into Romans 12, the apostle begins to explore the Christian's relationship with God, then with the world, then with his fellow believers in the church, and then finally with the ungodly outside of the church. And he shows that in all these relationships, we are supposed to interact on the basis of the gospel. We're supposed to live according to what we believe. Romans 12, as I pointed out, goes further and recognizes that the great obstacle to this outworking of the life of faith is self. The greatest obstacle in the world to your increased spirituality is self. The greatest obstacle to you being active in evangelism is self. The greatest obstacle to you living out the part of a humble believer in the body of Christ is self. We may blame the devil, but in reality the devil only exacerbates what is already within us. It is self that is the great hindrance to progress in the Christian life. And this self can take many forms of expression. But however it expresses itself, the great I, the ego in the person, in the believer, must be brought to the gospel. Paul, as we see in a moment,
indeed touches very clearly upon this. How are you to look at yourself? We live in the day of self-esteem. Of course, that's just a satanic invention to replace the biblical doctrine of justification. That is man's attempt to replace what God says to his people in justification without reference to the cross, without reference to Christ, without reference to the atonement, without reference to getting right with God. Self-esteem. That's the great cry of the age in which we live. But that's not the cry of the Bible. The Bible says, do not think upon yourself in a manner that's above what you ought to think. And as far as I can understand it, that's self-esteem. People thinking of themselves in ways that no sane person could think of them. That's self-esteem. They're thinking of themselves in ways that boast up their feelings about themselves, whatever the facts of the case may happen to warrant. Now, when we look at ourselves in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we find ourselves either as Jews or Gentiles. As Gentiles, Romans 1 describes us. As wicked, depraved, ungodly, unrighteous. How any man can run around with his chest puffed out and his nose in the air, so full of self-esteem that he needs no God but himself, no Redeemer but himself, no merit but his own, is more than I can begin to comprehend. And if you happen to be a Jew, then chapter 2 of Romans deals with you and says you're just as wicked and just as sinful. So this gospel deals with self. It condemns the old, wicked, depraved self-life. And I put it that way because, without getting too theological, if you go right back to the beginning of the history of sin in the world, the history of sin is the history of self. What was the first great sin of our first parents? It was the attempt to dethrone God and put self on the throne of eternal deity. That is the very essence of sin. And so the gospel must deal with that. And to deal with it, it destroys the pretensions of the ungodly man. It destroys his great self-image. It brings him down into the dust. It shows him as a poor, wretched, vile, guilty worm, one deserving of the wrath of God. It brings him, and if I could use language akin to that which the great leader of the, or should I say founder of the Salvation Army used to use, it takes the sinner and it shakes him over the open trap door of hell. It lets him see what he deserves. It brings him to the very verge of his destruction and showing him what he deserves. Then it points to God's great answer in the person and work of Christ. And it says, look at Christ, because God hath set forth Christ to be a propitiation, a sacrifice to put away the wrath of God, a sacrifice to redeem the souls of men. God has set him forth as a propitiation through faith in his blood. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, and thou shalt be saved, because we are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how Paul sets out the gospel here and deals with man's real need. Can I just stop there and say to you this morning, if you're here without Jesus Christ, you act the fool at an awful cost if you ignore God's analysis of your need and God's provision for that need in Jesus Christ. There are 1,000 clamoring voices out in this old world of ours that want to tell you what your situation really is and what the answer to your need really is, and every one of them is but one of the voices the devil uses, all except one, and that's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's analysis of your need is the only true one. Born in sin and shaped in iniquity, following sin by your own willful, wicked, and depraved desire, you've come under the wrath of a sin-hating God. But God is rich in mercy, and for His great love wherewith He loved us, has sent Christ to die, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. I wonder today, have you ever come to terms with the reality of the gospel? Have you ever come to grasp by faith the very essence of the gospel? This is what it is to pass from death unto life. This is what it is to be, as the Bible calls it, saved. Saved from what? Saved from self. And self-righteousness. And self-destruction. Saved from sin. Saved from the wrath and the curse of God. Saved from an eternity without God, without Christ, and without hope. Saved unto fellowship with God. Saved into union with Jesus Christ. Saved to be clothed in the merits of Christ's righteousness. This is what the Bible means by being saved. And this is the way for a sinner to be saved. I trust today that you'll not leave this meeting a sinner, but a sinner saved by grace. For as the old hymn puts it very succinctly and very simply, there's room at the cross for you. Never doubt that. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for every poor, penitent sinner. However vile and wicked, however wandering and errant, there's room at the cross for every poor, guilty sinner who comes to receive God's Son as his personal Savior. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.